Well, hey, everybody, welcome to episode 178 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, we've got a big podcast lined up for you guys tonight. In a little while, I'll be visiting with both boys soccer coaches. Both the Ankeny and Centennial teams are off to great starts this year, so we'll be talking with both of those gentlemen. And then later on, I've got two pre-recorded interviews that I'm going to play for you guys. I had a chance to catch up with Valley Assistant Athletic Director Nate Lindgren the other night at the Ankeny Boys soccer game. He's been named the new athletic director at Ankeny Centennial, so I had a chance to talk to him for a few minutes, so I'll play that interview for you, as well as another interview. I talked to Andrew Fava. He's a basketball player at Loyola of New Orleans, and he was a member of the NAIA National Championship team. And the reason I talked to him was because I was hoping to meet up with him at the Final Four, but if you've been following that story, of course, I never made it to the Final Four this year. But anyway, we'll be talking with him about his experiences at the Final Four and the reason for why I wanted to talk to him in the first place. But anyway, leading off tonight is a realtor at Coldwell Banker. He's been on the podcast before, and I appreciate him coming to the office today. He's Andy Logan. Andy, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Hey, doing great, Dan. Thanks for having me again.
Hey, you bet. Well, hey, I know you're a big golf fan. Now, the weather hasn't been very nice this spring. Have you had a chance to get out and play much at all?
I have not been out yet, but my kids have both been out a ton, so...
Yeah, this weather's just been awful, hasn't it?
It has. The kids can take it better than we can.
Yeah. I just can't believe that. I was at the soccer game last night. It was like 70 degrees, and then today it feels like 20. It's like, I don't know. You never know what you're going to get.
Welcome to Iowa, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, did you have a chance to watch the Masters at all?
I did watch the Masters. One of my favorite events all year long, and really exciting this year. Just having Tiger back is a huge lift for him. And then Scottie Scheffler with his play, it's just phenomenal.
Well, I planned to maybe watch some of it when I thought Tiger was going to contend, but then when he kind of fell off the map, and then I saw where Scheffler was kind of running away with it, so I never did get a chance to watch any of it, and this shows you how plugged I am into golf. I didn't even know who Scottie Scheffler was until this weekend, so.
Yep, he's a new number one player in the world, won four of his last six events. So.
Yeah, he's having quite the year, isn't he?
Yes.
Well, hey, let's talk a little real estate. What's new with you now?
Yeah, so MJ Properties, Ankeny's finest home builder, is doing a great project out in Centennial Estates, Northwest 29th Street. We have eight new digs going on out there. So we're looking at completion dates, end of June into July for half of them, and July into August for the other half. So we're really excited about our product. It's a nice standalone villa, two or three car garage, price point $389 to $399, and that's with finished lower level, sunroom, like I said, two or three car garage, and just MJ's outstanding quality.
So have you had a lot of interest in those properties?
We have. In fact, we've already got seven of them sold in the first go around, and now this is our second, and we really look for it to be sold out by the end of the year.
Oh, well, good. Well, yeah, I haven't seen these properties, but it sounds like it might be kind of similar to the house that my wife and I moved into a couple years ago over on Renaissance, and we really like where we're at. So yeah, I can attest that MJ builds some nice homes.
Yes, they do. They do a fantastic job.
Well, if anybody's interested in taking a look at these properties,
yeah, absolutely. You can check us out at CaldwellBanker.com. Ron Sampson and myself, or you can give us a call. My number is 515-979-4494, or andy.logan@caldwell.cbdsm.com.
Yeah. Well, hey, Andy, thanks a lot for coming in today. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Dan. Have a great night.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, my next guest is the head coach of the 5th-ranked Ankeny boys soccer team. His team improved its record to 6-0 with a 3-1 victory at Valley on Monday. He is Marcus Varnum. Marcus, thanks for joining me here in the office. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Hey, thanks a lot for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, you have to be thrilled with the team's performance the other night. Boy, you know, what a game and what a great start for you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. No, very, very excited for us to continue to move on and remain undefeated. I think that getting to 6-0 with the competition that we've had so far is big time. Couple good tests. We're continuing to grow and kind of improve each and every day, but definitely is a little exciting for us to be able to get past Valley, that definitely one of the big opponents that are circled on our schedule this year. And so now that we've gotten past them, we're excited, we're ready to go, and we want to keep going though.
Well, yeah, I was there for the game on Monday, you know, and what an impressive win that was. You know, after giving up an early goal, you guys really dominated the rest of the way. And I know Valley has a young team, but anytime you can go into that stadium and come out with a win, I mean, you got to be pleased.
Absolutely, it's quite the place to go into and play. Lot of exciting distractions, if you will. Trying to go in and play in one of the biggest venues in high school soccer is just one of those distractions that you can kind of get a little overwhelmed with or excited with. But I think that the fact that we were able to play the way that we did under the circumstances that we did in those first 2-3 minutes shows the experience that we have this year that we didn't this year or last year. We've got the majority of the guys returning this year, obviously. Lucas has been an awesome, outstanding addition. But the fact that we were able to, take a deep breath, recognize still plenty of game to play, still can get back into it, and we managed to do so. So extremely proud of the efforts and the intentions that the boys showed last Monday and how strong it was of a effort. So very, very pumped, yeah.
Well, yeah, I didn't know anything about Lucas Newhart until he joined the team this year, but boy, what an addition he has been. He scored 11 of your team's 17 goals thus far, and he had the hat trick the other night. I mean, what can you say about his performance on Monday?
Yeah, if you didn't know much about Lucas before the season, now you do, for sure, and I think that goes for a lot of people here in the state. He's definitely just been an awesome addition to the squad on and off the field. He is brand new, but he's already been voted a captain, making an impact in the locker room, making an impact on and off the field. He's a vocal guy, and he's very motivated. To add him to our already three great outstanding leaders as captains just really, really solidifies this team's core. So we're very excited to have him, and obviously he's producing on the field, but just some of those outstanding additions that he brings off the field that don't necessarily go into the record books is one of those things that is a joy to have Lucas on the team for sure.
Well, I know the first time I asked you about him, you know, that you told me that you expected him to make a big impact, but has he maybe been even better than you expected him to be?
Sure. I mean, for the stats that he already has, goals, assists, and just regular involvement in the play of the game, it's been very, very exciting. So yes, we knew that he was a dynamic player and we knew that he was a natural scorer. But for the stats that he's showing and all of the unrecordable impact that he can have, I think it's probably more than what I was really anticipating, which is exciting for sure.
Well, I imagine he's probably got some schools looking. Has he committed anywhere yet?
Yeah, so he committed to Grandview.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And that was later last fall, I believe, maybe even earlier this year. Definitely Grandview's a side that is definitely going to appreciate having him. That's for sure.
All right. Well, you guys will play three games in the Valley Invitational this weekend. You're going to play Norwalk on Friday, and then you'll face Sioux City East and Council Bluffs Lincoln on Saturday. Do you know much about those teams, and do you expect, you know, a strong challenge from any of them?
Yeah. I mean, obviously going into that Valley tournament, there's a lot of things that we got to try to consider and take into account. One, the amount of playing that we're going to have in those three games, that's going to be a lot. So we want to make sure that we're managing minutes and getting good exposure for everyone. I don't know a whole lot about Sioux City East or Council Bluffs Lincoln, but I know that Norwalk is a well-run, organized team. So glad to get them started on Friday night, where we'll be maybe a little bit fresher, or as fresh as we will this weekend. And then you know what? We're going to go into it for the other two games on Saturday, just with determination, motivation, but also recognizing, hey, let's make sure that we're managing the loads and the minutes that everyone's getting.
Well, as great as Lucas's production has been, you know, you do have to wonder if it's sustainable. You know, do you think at some point the teams are going to start, you know, defending him differently because they're going to look at the stats and see how many of the goals he's scoring?
Right. So obviously the Iowa soccer world is recognizing Lucas's impact, but kind of like how I'm saying is he has an impact that is not just stats. He can receive the ball, move the ball, drive, and draw in those defenders away from and out of position, right? right? So whatever he's going to be doing, there's going to be an impact. I think it's going to be tough to control him and kind of cut him out of the play. As long as he's doing what he does, which is just finding the ball, moving the ball, being dangerous, it's going to be tough, honestly. But I do know that, hey, they're going to start to circle his number and recognize we got to make an impact on his play. But I think that might be a tricky one for some teams, for sure.
Well, yeah, and you certainly have some other guys that can score some goals. And if teams focus that much attention on him, that's going to create some openings for some other guys.
Absolutely. Right. Yep. So, I mean, with him moving off the ball, people are going to track him. People are going to move with him, try to control him, which then just opens up more space for all of our other outstanding players. So one way or the other, he's going to make an impact. But it's going to be a handful for sure.
Well, I know you don't want to look too far ahead, but I do want to ask you about the Pack the Pitch on May 3rd when you guys will be playing Centennial. You know there's this effort underway to set the attendance record that night of 7,342, I believe, is the record. They want to get one more than that. You know, when you first heard about that effort, I mean, do you think that's a realistic goal?
I mean, it is pretty shocking to think, hey, if we get 7,500 or whatever it is, if we get that amount of people in the stands, first off, the place is going to be buzzing. So that is going to be nuts. That's going to be exciting. I really don't know how attainable it is. I don't know how many people typically show up to soccer games. I mean, the Centennial Ankeny game is a well-attended match, right? But I don't know what those attendance records look like. I know that 7,500 people is quite a good amount of people, but I know that the Pack the Pitch group has been doing an outstanding job getting the word out and getting all of the social media outbursts out and everything like that. So I think it's definitely word of mouth, word of social media, whatever, that has been spreading around. I know that I've had a few conversations away from Ankeny about, hey, what's going on May 3rd? How's it going? And so I do know it's on people's radar. But I do know that 7,500 is a good amount of people, but exciting nonetheless.
Well, just looking at your schedule, you know, it seems like there's a chance that you guys could be unbeaten going into that game. Again, I know you don't want to look too far ahead, but your next seven opponents currently have a combined record of 5-14, if my math is right. You know, I'm sure you'd love to be unbeaten going into that game, wouldn't you?
That would definitely make things more exciting, for sure. Yeah, for us to be unbeaten going into that game would just add to the fun. And I know that Centennial is going to continue to do their part in just being as competitive as possible. So the closer we get, and the more success that both teams hopefully have, the more exciting this night will be. So yeah.
Well, of course, that's always a great game, and you guys are off to a great start, and Centennial is as well. I was at their game last night. They beat Urbandale in a shootout. I'm sure that result caught your attention, didn't it?
Oh, for sure. Yep, absolutely. Got home from training, watching the weather a little bit, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh man, this is getting close. We were checking social media, so we had to take a look at it and try to follow it as best we could. But what a night for games. I mean, all around Des Moines, I think it was just crazy results and crazy soccer in general. But with Darby and Duex going up against each other like that, that is one, an exciting one, just because of their history. They've worked together and they know each other really well. So that one's always probably one that's circled for each of them there. But two good sides going at it and taking it to the very last little bit. So very exciting game for sure. But kudos to them for getting the result last night.
Well, of course, last year you had a young team, and I'm sure, you know, your big focus was just on, you know, making some progress, trying to get better. And you guys had a good year, but, you know, this year's obviously a little different. You're off to a great start. You're undefeated. You're ranked in the top five. I mean, at some point, do you start kind of looking ahead at those top teams and thinking about maybe potential matchups down the road, like at the state tournament, if you're fortunate enough to get there?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, like you said, don't want to get too ahead of ourselves. Don't want to look too ahead of what's next, right? We've got plenty of games in between then. But it is thinking, or we do need to think, all right, hey, if this comes up, what's our game plan, right? We want to prepare for these kinds of situations, and we want to make sure that we're thinking confident. And when we get into those games and get into those postseason matchups, we definitely, one, want to know what our opponents are going to look like and maybe what their game plan is. But we also want to just be as tidy and clean and strong and powerful of a team as possible. So absolutely, we do want to look and understand, hey, what the opponent's going on and how they're playing. But it's also, hey, we've got confidence and we want to make sure that we're playing our style. So rather than making adjustments, let's make sure that we're playing as strong as we can so that they're the team that has to make the adjustments, right? Can we be in that powerful, confident, and motivated mindset standpoint as possible, so that the opposition is the one that's having to make the adjustments.
Well, you guys are obviously familiar with Centennial and Urbandale, two of the teams that, you know, are currently ranked ahead of you. Bettendorf is number three, and they're a traditional power. Obviously, Liberty's a new school. They're ranked number one. Do you know much about them yet?
No, I honestly don't. I know that they're newer, and they're definitely drawing in some of the population of the Iowa City soccer players, which is a very competitive and well organized and educated players, but I don't know much about their individual players' system, anything. So definitely interested. I know that I think they beat West last night 1-0. Not 100% on that one, but they're definitely making some noise for sure and doing good things over on the east side of the state. So good for them. Yeah.
Well, this should be a fun season. It already has been. I'm looking forward to the rest of it. So, hey, good luck the rest of the way, Marcus. I'm sure I'll be seeing you next week.
Hey, thank you very much for having me. Yeah, very excited. So we keep going.
You bet. All right. Well, my next guest is the head coach of the fourth-ranked Ankeny Centennial boys soccer team. His team improved its record to 5-1 with a 3-2 victory over number 2 Urbandale in a shootout on Tuesday. He is Brian Duex. Brian, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, it was about 70 degrees at your game last night, and right now it feels like it's about 20 outside. And I know you're on your way to practice right now. It's going to be a cold one out there.
This spring has been miserable. Let's just be honest. Whether it's the wind, whether it's the snow, whether it's the temperature change, it has been a roller coaster of weather.
Yeah, it has. Well, congrats on the huge win last night. You know, what do you think that win's going to do for your team's confidence?
I think the boys are pretty confident as it is, but I think playing the number 2 ranked team, even though those rankings are early in the year, it still boosts your morale a little bit. I would say more than that, it was a lot of those seniors and juniors know Darby Wesley, the Urbandale coach, so they don't want to lose to him pretty badly.
Well, yeah, of course, he's a former assistant of yours, so yeah, some of those guys know him pretty well, I'm sure.
Yep, me and Darby spoke again at 7 a.m. this morning. That's kind of our ritual, and I can't believe he called me this morning, but he did.
Well, I'm sure you guys, you know, had a game plan going into that contest on how you wanted to attack them, you know, but then when you show up for the game, it was incredibly windy out there, and you had to make a lot of adjustments, I'm sure. I mean, the wind pretty much dictated how you had to play, didn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely, and the wind was a huge factor. I mean, I almost feel we were better. Let me rephrase that. We were better against the wind because we actually played soccer. Going with the wind, we tried to go big too much, and when you go big with that wind, the ball just carries down to the goalie or out of bounds every time. And we were trying to get the boys to adjust, but they just didn't in the first half. I mean, we created a couple chances, but not enough to score any goals in that first 40 minutes.
Well, yeah, that whole first half was played, you know, on their end of the field, but you guys weren't able to score. I mean, I kind of felt like going into the half 0-0 that maybe you guys were in trouble. I mean, did you feel that way too? Or
The momentum was definitely on their side, for sure. But we spoke before the game about these games where you're playing two good teams, there's going to be momentum shifts. So as we were walking to the locker room, the Urbandale players and Darby were very stoked that it was 0-0 at half. So we used that as a little bit of a flame to ignite the boys. And then we, like you said, we had to modify some formations. We had to modify some game plans because that wind was ridiculous.
Well, what can you say about the performance of your goalkeeper, Andrew Nelson? I know he gave up a couple goals in the second half when Urbandale had the win at its back, you know, but I'm not sure if there was much he could have done on either one of those. And then, of course, in the shootout, he came up with a big save that ended up really being the difference. I mean, he came up big, didn't he?
He did. He did. He's a sophomore with not a lot of varsity experience. You know, last year he was on the JV team. And to be honest, this year I think everybody assumed he would probably be the backup because Reese Frizzell was the returning goalkeeper that would have been coming back with experience, but he decided not to play anymore. So Andrew kind of got thrown into the mix and thrown to the lions the first 6 games and has done really, really well. To give up, really 3 set piece goals and 1 on the run of play in 6 games is pretty good.
Well, it looks like he has confidence out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, he's played club soccer for a long time. There's just a little bit difference between club soccer, you're playing your own age, and then all of a sudden you're playing kids that are 18, 19 years old that are men. It's a difference, but he's adapted, and he's adapted really well.
where your son Ty scored the game's first goal in the 50th minute. And then after Urbandale scored twice to take the lead, Ty got the equalizer on a penalty kick in the 75th minute. And he told me after the game that he always has confidence on his penalty kicks. And I was standing close to your bench when he was getting ready to take that kick, and you seemed to be nervously walking like you didn't want to watch. You know, do you have as much confidence in him on those penalty kicks as he does?
I don't know about as much, because he's a pretty confident kid. But if you look at some of the tape, like my wife still watches last year's Waukee shootout in the sub-state final, and she still laughs because she says that I literally basically burned out a part of the field just pacing, because I have no control.
Right.
Right. The only thing I can do is set the players up and hopefully they make the kick. But I, at that point, you have no control. So it's one of those, that's, I guess, my nervous tick that I do with all of them. Like, I would say in the shootout, I was most nervous for Evan Larson, because Evan has given himself the, quote, curse of PKs, because he didn't make very many last year. But I wanted him to break said curse, because he's a good enough player that shouldn't be over his head.
Well, I know a couple of the guys that you maybe normally would have out there on the PKs weren't there, so you had to kind of make some adjustments there too, didn't you?
Yes, yes. You know, Iman and Braden Thiele not playing in the game, they would definitely be in my five. So we had to adjust on the fly, but other kids had to rise up to the occasion, just like Andrew did, and Andrew Heckenleibel. You know, we have a past with me and him and PKs, so he's never been on my list for PKs, but he was cool, calm, and collected yesterday.
Well, Urbandale had outscored its first six opponents by a combined margin of 24-1, so their back line had been, you know, pretty much rock solid all year. Did you feel like going into the game, though, that there were some areas where you could attack them?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, again, knowing all of these guys, knowing Darby, I knew their entire back line. Like, their left back, Jude Hissler, plays with Ty and Andrew and Braden Thiele and Luke Kalman. And then their two center backs play against those guys all the time. So did I know them? Yes. Did I think we could create chances? Absolutely. Did I think it would be into the wind, both of them? No.
All right, so you guys will play at Southeast Polk on Friday. And then looking ahead to your upcoming schedule, you know, it looks like there's a good chance that you guys could maybe run the table through the end of the month. I know you have a tough game coming up against Linmar next week. But that'll be your third game that week. But it looks like most of the opponents that you got coming up are beatable.
I would say they are all beatable, but it like, we talk a lot about we need to control our controllables. If we show up and play to the best of our ability, I'm not sure there's any team in the state that can beat us. But if we don't show up, I think there's a lot of teams that can beat us. So we try and just dictate the way we do things, and if we do things the way we think we can, things will probably work out for us.
Seems like I've heard you say that before. I mean, that just kind of goes with the game of soccer, doesn't it? If you show up and play the way you can, you're going to win. If you don't,
well, when you, yes, when you are on paper probably the more talented team, which, you know, in the next five or six games, we probably are on paper the more talented team. But that doesn't mean you're going to win. I mean, just look at, I know you're not a huge soccer fan, Dan, but in the Champions League this week, Bayern Munich is almost unanimously the number one team in the world. And Villarreal, which is a town of 50,000 people in Spain, beat them this week and knocked them out of the Champions League. So, again, Bayern Munich on paper, 100% better than Villarreal.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost over two legs and didn't advance. So it can happen.
Sure.
For sure.
Well, looking just a little farther ahead, on May 3rd, of course, we have the big Jag Hawk showdown, and that's also going to be the Pack the Pitch night, where they're going to try to break the attendance record of 7,342. I'm sure you've heard all about that.
Absolutely.
What was your first thought when you heard about the effort to try to break this record?
I thought Kevin was crazy. I honestly did. But, you know, it's a lot of steps. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of things that we have to do and help organize. And I was talking to one of the other coaches the other day, and I go, yeah, it's a little bit more work on our plate right now to try and help Kevin and the committee get these things done. But just imagine how sweet it would be if it actually happened. I mean, even if we just get half of that, let's say we get 3,500 people to a soccer game in Iowa, a high school soccer game, that would be a really electric atmosphere. I mean, last night, what did we have there? 250, maybe?
Maybe, yeah.
And that felt electric.
Yeah.
You get 3,500 people in a game or 7,500 people in a game, that's going to be memories forever.
Well, it should be a great night with two great games, you know, four great teams.
Yep.
And I do think the weather's going to play a big part in it, because if we have a night like some of these nights we've had lately, there's no way they're going to get that many people there.
Correct. If it's windy, if it's cold, if it's raining, people will not come. If it's 70 degrees and beautiful, we got a chance. Again, Kevin Welsh is doing a lot of things to try and make this happen. We just got, everybody's got brand new blue neon shirts that we wear to school on specific days to try and get, you know, even if we just get the student body there, mm-hmm. you know, that's 1,200 kids roughly each school. You know, there's 2,400 kids right there. And a lot of those kids go to every single football game. If we can get, you know, the same student section that football gets, we could cause some ruckus. It could happen.
Oh, I think so, yeah. Well, of course, the Jaguar game is always a great one, but, you know, both teams are now ranked in the top five. You're off to great starts. I'm sure you followed what Ankeny has done. You know, they had the big win at Valley the other night. I mean, you've got to be impressed with what they've done.
Absolutely. You know, I love Marcus and what he's done with that program. They are a really, really good side this year, for sure. Returning all those guys and then adding Lucas Newhard, who's a difference maker for sure.
Yeah, I wasn't familiar with him, of course, because he hadn't played high school soccer before, but man, he's really impressive.
He is a goal-scoring machine.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
We've had a lot of guys step up as well. Ty now has 4 goals and a team-high 6 assists. And you guys have a talented newcomer of your own in Rashidi Ishibwami. He leads the team with 6 goals and also has 2 assists. And, of course, he drew the foul that led to the tying goal last night. You know, he's been a nice addition to the team as well, hasn't he?
Absolutely. He has been a really big portion, a really great addition to the team. You know, going into this year, we all knew that with the year that Andrew Heckenleibel had last year, that people were probably going to double team him. Also, the year that Ty had last year, teams are going to try and eliminate your better goal scorers. Well, now we have 3 that are very lethal and can score goals in buckets. So which one are you going to try and take away? And hopefully those 3 continue to get better working together. And when they're trying to take away Ty can be smart enough to draw a defender away or play a ball to Rashidi or play a ball to Andrew and let them score the goals.
Well, of course, when you get everybody back in your lineup, you're going to be just that much better.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed. You know, when Iman gets back, when Braden Thiele gets back, we have another couple injuries that, like I told Marcus earlier, we've been playing this year with 16 field players. That's it. So that's only 5 subs, which in the grind of high school it's tough.
When you mentioned that on paper, that there may not be a team more talented than you guys, so you got to feel like the team's ceiling is pretty high.
The team can go a long ways. If they do what they're supposed to, if we continue to get better day after day after day, if they continue to take the criticism that myself and Daryl give them, take the thoughts that me and Daryl give them and apply them to the field, we could have a pretty special year.
Well, it should be fun. Looking forward to the rest of the season. It's already been fun, but I know we got a lot more excitement coming up. So, hey, Brian, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks, Dan, for all you do.
You bet. All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Well, right now I'm going to play a couple of pre-recorded interviews for you guys that I taped on Monday. So here's the first one. It is with Valley Assistant Athletic Director Nate Lindgren.
I'm standing here at Valley Stadium watching the Yankee boys soccer game against Valley, and joining me right now is Valley Assistant AD Nate Lindgren. Of course, he's just been named the new Activities Director at Centennial. Nate, well, welcome to Centennial. I bet you're pretty excited.
I am very excited. Everybody's been so gracious reaching out since the process started to its final decision of me being named. I'm looking forward to the opportunity. Great people up there. Really looking forward to working with them and going the Jaguar pride and excelling in all of our programs.
I know you've been here at Valley for 5.5 or 6 years, but you just kind of feel like you were ready to run your own program now?
Yeah. You know, you never like to say that you're ready for everything because there's always the unknowns. Brad Rose here at Valley has given me tremendous responsibilities and let me kind of do my own thing and lead my own way. I definitely feel like it's given me the opportunity to spread my wings and maybe grow professionally and look forward to this opportunity at Centennial.
Of course, you're familiar with many of the coaches at Centennial. Do you think that'll help with the transition?
Yeah, absolutely. We get to see them, interconference, gotten to know them. I joke around with Mike Fontana all the time. He's an assistant for wrestling and football. Those guys are great guys, great group of people. Coach DeYoung, obviously Hall of Fame basketball coach. Their volleyball program's been phenomenal. We've had some great battles over the years. So getting to know them, through the CIML battles and just, talking to them pregame, postgame, great people up there.
What do you think is going to be the biggest challenges for you coming into this job?
Well, I think it's just getting to know everybody, having those initial conversations of, what are your aspirations? What are your strengths? What can we work on? What frustrates you? How can I be of help? Feeling that all out. That's a slow process, but you need to do it accurately and in a timely manner that's dictated by the situation. You can't put constraints on those things. You just got to work through them, and it's a process, and work together and collaborate to reach those goals for the students and the coaches and the sponsors for all the activities.
Well, it's a beautiful night here tonight, but of course the weather this spring's been pretty bad. Has that created some challenges for you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. So we hosted our Valley Relays this past Saturday. We had, it's co-ed, so it's boys and girls, and it's JV varsity. So we ended up with 11 teams on each side. So it's 22 total teams. I bet we turned away probably 20 schools. Now, whether those schools were just one relay, wanted to get in to get a time, or full-fledged participation, we had to turn them away because we were out there burning the midnight oil, cleaning things up. So it was a great meet, but yeah, it's created a challenge this spring of just, trying to get matches in, whether it be soccer or track meets, tennis matches, all those things. It's hard, but everybody's dealing with it. So, we set our school spirit aside and we all work together to try and get things done. People throw together, meets at the last minute. We had a tennis meet. Boys get canceled last week with Centennial. We're going to play tomorrow over here at Southwood. So just got to be flexible. You got to work together and you got to have those relationships with your peers to be able to find resolutions.
All right, Nate White, thanks for your time tonight and good luck at Centennial.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it. Go Jags.
All right, now here's my other pre-recorded interview. This one is with Loyola of New Orleans basketball player Andrew Fava.
All right, well, joining me right now is a gentleman from New Orleans who I was hoping to meet up with at the Final Four, but of course my trip didn't work out so well last weekend. But anyway, he is a basketball player at Loyola New Orleans, and they actually won the NIIA National Championship this year, so we'll talk to him about that. And the reason I wanted to talk to him was because he put a notice out on Twitter. He was offering rides to some coaches during that weekend, and I kind of wanted to get some of his experiences and observations from the weekend. But anyway, his name is Andrew Fava, and thanks for joining me on the phone, Andrew. How you doing?
Good, doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, you bet. Well, I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to hook up at the Final Four. We were really disappointed that our trip didn't work out, but I bet you had an exciting weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great experience. I put out that tweet, was able to meet up with some coaches, and obviously New Orleans, they did a great job with the Final Four. There was so much going on in the city, so it was a lot of fun, a lot to do over the weekend.
Oh, I'll bet. Well, yeah, I saw your tweet that you put out, and boy, you got a lot of response to that. Did you expect to get that much response?
No, I had no idea what to expect. I put out the tweet. I was at dinner with two of my friends that are in coaching. Patrick Wallace is an assistant coach at Loyola Chicago, and then Blake Selland, who's an assistant coach at Flagler. And, they're both in the industry, and obviously I'd like to get into coaching. And so we were trying to figure out a good way for me to meet people naturally and, be able to network a little bit more. And that was one of the ideas that popped up, and we kind of sat on it and thought it was a great idea. So typed up the tweet, sent it, and those two guys retweeted it, and their networks just, blew it up, honestly. So I had no idea what to expect. I thought a couple coaches would reach out, maybe call or DM me, but it was pretty special to see how many people reached out and the support that I got from it.
So how many coaches did you end up giving rides to?
So I drove about 25 coaches. I did about 12 round trips from the New Orleans Convention Center downtown to the airport. It's about a 30-minute drive without traffic, so you had traffic in there a little bit longer. But I did about 12 round trips over the weekend, and I mean, it was great experience. Sometimes I had one coach in the car, sometimes I had three coaches in the car, just depending on the time. But it was great conversations, and you know, awesome to be able to speak with some of these guys in the industry.
Well, do you have any good stories to tell? I mean, did you have any famous coaches that you gave rides to?
I don't want to necessarily name drop, but I did give some, you know, I drove some Division I head coaches, a lot of Division I assistant coaches, some Division II NAIA coaches, you know, just guys from all different levels. One of the funny stories was, you know, three individual coaches had DM'd me. They were all landing at about the same time. And so I'm going through the little roundabout at the arrivals at the airport. So I pick up the first coach, he gets in the car. And I pick up the second coach, and he gets in the car. And then I go to pick up the third coach, and he gets in my back seat. And him and the second coach that I picked up actually knew each other, and they hadn't seen each other in a couple years. So it was kind of funny how just getting in my car, I was almost reconnecting some other coaches. And so it also wasn't just about me networking. It was, you know, some of these other coaches networking as well. So it was pretty cool to see kind of their reactions, like, oh my gosh, you're in the car too. And so it was pretty funny. And then, you know, a lot of people, they got in the car and they were kind of talking about how they saw my tweet or who sent them my tweet. And it was just cool to see.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of these coaches, they know each other. It seems to be a pretty close fraternity.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Everybody knows everybody in that industry for sure.
Well, do you feel like you made some good contacts, you know, over the weekend then?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there were a ton of coaches that just reached out to me that they didn't even want rides. They just wanted to, you know, connect with me. And so I was able to – I gave rides pretty much all of Thursday of the weekend. And then Friday and Saturday I was able to go meet up with a lot of coaches downtown. There were some events going on. One of the coaches invited me to an Under Armour event where I got to meet a couple people there and just got to go to a lot of different things. I was able to actually get a ticket to the national championship game from one of the coaches that I gave a ride to. So, I mean, it was really beneficial in that I got to experience so many different things over the weekend and obviously got to have so many fruitful conversations.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I told you what happened to us. You know, our flight out of Chicago got canceled. We probably had 300 people trying to, you know, scramble to get away down to New Orleans. And one of the guys on our flight was the father of one of the Duke assistant coaches who was trying to get down there. And, you know, he'd already had a flight delayed getting into Charlotte the night before, so his travel plans just got all messed up. So did you hear any stories about other people having trouble, you know, getting to New Orleans?
Yeah, so actually, Wednesday night, we had a hurricane, I mean not a hurricane, a tornado watch in New Orleans, and I think that caused a lot of travel issues on Wednesday night getting in. And then I did hear about a pretty big storm, I want to say in the Florida area around Orlando, that caught a lot of connecting flights to New Orleans. So it was actually interesting. Quite a few coaches that I had planned on giving rides to ended up contacting me that, you know, that the day of the ride that, you know, their flights were delayed or got canceled or they had to change their travel plans because of it. So I do think that was actually a common occurrence with, I think it just had a lot to do with the weather going on in different parts of the country. So I did hear about, you know, some travel plans having to change.
Sure. Well, yeah, I'd been to two other Final Fours in New Orleans previously, so I knew what we were looking forward to. We were just so disappointed we couldn't make it down there, but I don't think we're the only ones that didn't make it.
No, yeah, I definitely think there were quite a few people that got caught up in the traveling.
Well, you mentioned that you were able to go to the game on Monday night. Boy, that was a heck of a game, wasn't it?
Oh, it was incredible. I couldn't believe the comeback that happened, but it was a great atmosphere. A lot of Kansas fans, a lot of Carolina fans. Just so cool to see so many people in the arena.
Well, another thing that we had hoped to do over the weekend was maybe go to one or two of the concerts that the Final Four was putting on. Did you happen to make it over there, Dan, the concerts?
I actually didn't go to any of the concerts, but a lot of my friends did. They said it was awesome. I saw the stage that they had set up downtown. I mean, I think New Orleans, they did a great job, you know, just making use of all the space that they have downtown. So it was, I mean, there were so many people down there. It was pretty special.
Oh, sure. Well, yeah, I just wanted to ask you briefly about the season that you guys had. You guys went 37-1 and won the national championship. I read where you started your career at Florida before you transferred to Loyola. Were you guys supposed to be, you know, this good this year?
So last season we made it to the Elite Eight of the NAIA National Tournament. We lost in overtime in that game, so we were, you know, we were a couple minutes away from going to the Final Four last year of the NAIA tournament. And coming back this year, after we lost last year, we knew that we could have done better. We knew that we had the talent, and you know, because of COVID, we pretty much brought back our entire lineup from last year. And then on top of that, we added a new point guard, really good kid. It was actually an honorable mention All-American this year. And then we also added a transfer from the College of Idaho who was an All-American last season. So bringing those two guys in just really strengthened our team. And then obviously our team had a lot of experience. We've been there. We were there last year. So coming into this season, I mean, I said our goal is to go undefeated and win the national championship, and we came pretty close to it. So I don't know that we were supposed to be this good, but we knew ourselves that we had a lot of talent and we had the pieces to be able to do something this special and win it all.
Well, I was looking at your scores. I think you guys scored 100 or more points 9 times, including 134 in one game. You guys must have played a really up-tempo style of basketball, just a lot of running and gunning, huh?
Yeah, so we full-court pressed for 40 minutes a game, and we would get it and go. We have some great athletes on our team. On our team, we have the Loyola all-time leader in assists, points scored, and rebounds. And then another kid on our team is the all-time leader in steals. So between those two guys, I mean, everybody else can kind of do what we need to do to help those guys. And, you know, we had an incredible point guard who was able to push the pace with us. So we actually had more steals this year than we had turnovers.
Oh, wow.
Which is pretty special, pretty hard to beat a team that does that. So, yeah, I mean, we running and gunning for 40 minutes, and it definitely wore teams out. We would be in a lot of close games, you know, into halftime, and in the second half, we would pretty much outrun them. So it helped us a lot when we got to the national tournament, for sure.
Well, see, you started every game and averaged about 10 points a game. Was your role just kind of be the off guard, the shooter?
Yeah, you know, I was the captain of the team, the vocal leader. They call me the grandfather of the group because I'm the oldest guy on the team. You know, this is my 6th year in college, so it's kind of funny. But yeah, I mean, I was our shooter. You know, that was pretty much what I did. A lot of teams would end up face guarding me just to keep me from getting shots open. So I was able to use that to set a lot of screens to open up some other guys and, you know, space the floor. Definitely helped spacing the floor a little bit. And, you know, our point guard shot the ball really well this year as well. So having us two on the court at the same time made things difficult and allowed our two All-Americans to just get to the basket and do what they do best.
All right, Andrew. Well, one other question I'll ask you just about the Final Four in general. I've been to like 13, 14 Final Fours myself, and you never know who you're going to run into. You know, as you're going around town, you know, maybe somebody famous from broadcasting or the area of politics or whatever. I mean, do you have any other famous people sightings throughout the weekend?
I was driving in my car, and I saw John Calipari walking down the street. Obviously, I played at Florida, so I've seen him a time or two. You know, so they actually honored our Loyola team at the open practices at the Final Four. So, you know, we got to be in the arena right up on the court while Duke was practicing. So I don't know if that counts as a famous sighting, but I did get to see Coach K pretty close, which was special, you know, seeing his last practice.
Oh, sure.
Before his retirement. So definitely took that in and was grateful for that experience. Aside from that, I mean, I didn't really see too many people. Definitely a lot of coaches. You know, most of the people that I was running into were college coaches at different levels. So definitely cool to see them just walking down the street.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I really didn't have a rooting interest in the Final Four, but, you know, I'm certainly disappointed that I didn't get a chance to see, you know, Coach K's final game. That'd be something you could always remember.
Absolutely, yeah. It's, you know, obviously he's the best coach of all time, so it was definitely cool to be in the area while he was coaching his final game. So definitely an experience I'll be grateful for.
All right, Andrew. Well, hey, really appreciate the time. I enjoyed hearing about your experiences over the weekend. I wish we could have been down there, but it was fun to hear, you know, what you were able to do throughout the weekend. So, hey, thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
You bet.
All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We're constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, I want to thank the two boys' soccer coaches, Marcus Varnum and Brian Duex, for coming into the office tonight. Enjoyed the conversations with both of those gentlemen. So come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.